All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Make sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton. You can find him at Misto Christopho. Chris, say what's up to the people.
Howdy ho, people of the internet.
Welcome to our official roster breakdown series for the Jaguars. We are going to be doing an episode every weekday until this thing is wrapped up, covering, you know, exactly what the expectations were for each Jaguars position group in the 2018 season, what actually happened, and then how the team can address the position in the 2019 offseason. And we're just going to go down the roster from start to finish. Obviously, that means it's going to start with the most important position in, quite frankly, all of sports, the quarterback position. And I'm sure everyone knows exactly what happened, but we're going to break down every little bit of it. What everyone expected out of Blake Bortles and Cody Kessler and Tanner Lee, if you count that, if you count him to be a football player.
I had no expectations.
I had negative expectations. So the fact that he didn't mess anything up this year actually made me happy. Then what happened and what the team needs to do about it. So, Chris, if there's one word you could use to describe, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this, how you perceive the quarterback position before the season started to how you feel about them now, what would it be? Because I don't know if I could really use the word disappointed. I guess you could, but I was still a little skeptical before the season began.
Not using disappointed. I felt like I was misled.
I think that's a great one, actually.
I felt like the flashes that we saw from Bortles in the offense at the end of the 2017 season and through the playoffs was very misleading going into this next year. The offense, well, I don't want to talk on the run game because that'll be another episode, but from Blake Bortles, it looked like we finally got a safe Blake Bortles. A Blake Bortles that might throw a pick a game every now and then, but would also throw you a touchdown or two every game. So would kind of nickel his dime his way to a 2-to-1 ratio, and we couldn't even get that really this year. So I was misled. Whether that be on me or just kind of, you know, optimism, I felt like the 2017 season, to many Jaguars fans, although I called it a fluke when it was happening, was misleading.
I think that that's probably a good way to put it, because everyone kind of bought in last year, right? To Blake and to the entire team, which led us to our downfall, is that we thought that everything was good. They were finally competing and it was going to stay like that. But people didn't realize just how perfect 2017 was, how nothing went wrong. Like, mm-hmm. Other than A-Rob, everything was perfect. Injury-wise, they got lucked into some wins. The defense played at a historical level. And that elevated Blake's play. He didn't elevate it himself, but everything was so perfect that there was no way he could mess it up. And they didn't have that type of luck this year. And we're going to talk about that. The injuries to the offensive line, all that kind of good stuff. And that's why everyone bought in, is that people thought that it could stay perfect, and that's not how the NFL works. Nothing's consistent whatsoever, except for the New England Patriots. And, you know, seeing Blake first get that extension, people were like, really? Everyone thought they were going to go after Kirk or try and draft a quarterback because they thought that that was the one not sure thing about this team. And, you know, people were kind of confused by it, but immediately everyone said, well, you know what? He got the extension. He's the guy. We might as well buy in. It was a very team-friendly contract at the end of the day, and they were able to win. So, I mean, why don't we believe in it at this point? They're finally winning. And I think that was the nail in the coffin at the end of the day, is that no one should have bought into this.
Yeah, and I think that's just where optimism will take you as a fan. You know, you're in the cellar for 10 years, and then next thing you know, bam, the defense is built. The offense is performing at an average to above average level in some aspects. You make it to the AFC Championship game when some people didn't even think you'd make the playoffs. And everybody's like, oh, you know what? We're ahead of schedule. As Dave Caldwell would say, it's built. and it was not
Gus
built.
Bradley.
Or Gus Bradley. I'm sure Dave Caldwell's thought somewhere along the line that it was built, but we were misled horribly. I think players even within the organization were misled, though some most intelligent folks in the locker room probably knew that it still wasn't it, but they were content. But yeah, the key word I think for this entire pod will be misled.
Exactly. When we come back, before I send it to break, I guess I have one more question for you. What was, considering we were misled, what was the expectation for the quarterbacks or for Blake? Like, what was your honest expectation out of him? Were you expecting like a great quarterback? Average?
Like I said, average to a little above average, a 2-to-1 touchdown ratio, whether that be like 22 touchdowns to like 11 or 12 interceptions, or like 20-to-10. Like, I was expecting that was almost kind of my baseline. And instead, he had this year of just over a 1-to-1. And the Giants game was sloppy. We, saw, like, that was just sloppy all around. And then he comes in slinging for the Patriots game. That was just an offensive masterpiece for both Blake Bortles and Nathaniel Hackett. And at that point, I was like, okay, we now know Blake Bortles' ceiling. We know how good he can get. And then the very next week, he throws for 155 yards and no touchdowns, no interceptions. I'm like, okay, well, it's the Titans, whatever. Comes back against the Jets, has a 2-to-1 with almost 80% completion percentage and 388 yards. Okay, good. That's two out of your four games that when the offense is clicking, it's because of Blake Bortles. And then the Kansas City game happens. And then the Dallas game happens. Then the Houston game happens. Just bad performance after bad performance. And then against Philly, has an okay day. But okay, maybe he's kind of shaping up a little bit. Indy looks good. Almost 70%. Two touchdowns. 320 yards. And then it just bottoms out after that. So I was really just looking for average to a little above average. I knew Blake Bortles was never going to play at an elite level. But I thought maybe the pieces were finally there to where he can kind of finally just, when he goes out there, you're going to get average to above average and no longer have to hold your breath and hoping that you at least get that. So that was probably my expectation, was probably like a 24 touchdown, 12 interception type season.
Yeah, I think I'm thinking along the same lines. I think I wasn't expecting great. You're expecting him to build off of what they were able to do, have some momentum. Even if the team can't repeat, you're looking for him to build off of what they were able to do. And everyone kind of knew at some point that he couldn't, like, nothing could be put on his shoulders. And that's what happened. And there was no leadership coming from the quarterback position because of it. When we come back, I mean, we're going to go even more in depth. What exactly happened to him and Kessler when Kessler was on the field? And after that, we're going to talk about what they got to do this offseason. Today's episode of Locked On Jaguars is brought to you by A1 Sliders. Are you one of hundreds of coastal Northeast Florida homeowners who struggle every day to open and close your sliding glass door? Why spend all the money it takes to replace your sliding glass door when Tony and the gang at A1 Sliders could save you money and repair your door for you? A1 Sliders is licensed and insured. They offer free estimates, upfront pricing, and will help you save on heating and cooling costs in your home from leaky sliding glass doors. And at A1, your schedule comes first. A1 Sliders is a fan of the Locked On Jaguars podcast, and in partnering with us, they will give you $25 off of any repair you order, no limit. Just mention Locked On Jaguars before getting your repairs done. Call A1 Sliders now for your free sliding glass door repair estimate at 386-538-6835. Or check out their website at www.a1sliders.com. That's 386-538-6835 and www.a1sliders.com. And don't forget to mention Locked On Jaguars for $25 off of any repair you order. A1 Sliders, licensed and insured, LLC, covers the Jacksonville area from Fernandina Beach through North Smyrna Beach, based out of Palm Coast, Florida. Contact for more details on location and any questions you may have. So when Blake kind of fell apart, like, it didn't take long for people to notice what was going on. It was the Chiefs game. It was the AJ Can helmet interception is when I knew that this thing was over. And I mean, is it? Do you think it was just him not being talented and not and stuff not going perfectly is what brought it out, or do you think it got in his head again, kind of like the 2016 season?
I mean, I don't know. That's
wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of where I'm at right now. Is I don't really know. I mean,
oh. Well, I mean, I think it's probably a mix of both, quite honestly. I mean, like, we knew that there was reports of him being a bit of a basket case from 2016. That was the term thrown around, is that he was living in his own head, and it just going kind of crazy, I guess. I mean, mm-hmm. just like was falling apart mentally. The confidence wasn't there whatsoever. And the team had to lift him up last year when they finally started playing well. Everyone revolved around him. And I think that was just kind of a, you know, you're the weak link here, and we know that, but
we're going to push you anyway.
We're doing good enough. And then when things fell apart this year is when everyone abandoned ship, dare I say it, abandoned boat.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that tells you just a lot about the team as a whole, that they didn't stick together through thick and thin, which is an issue.
I mean, the Dante Fowler thing kind of points to that. Everybody just, I don't know, they got humble, or they weren't humble, that's to say, they were unhumbled. And they thought they were good when they weren't. I don't think they were looking at themselves in a very direct mirror. And they did. Yeah. And I mean, you could tell, you knew in training camp that there were some rifts between Dante and Unique. I'm sure there was a lot of infighting during the season. We had a lot of those kind of closed doors things where the doors had to be closed real quick because they didn't want the media seeing. So we knew that they definitely didn't stick together during the season. Certain cliques probably did, like the D line might have stuck together a little bit. The DBs probably stick together a little bit, but definitely not the offense and defense collectively as a whole not sticking together.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And what did you see when Bortles was finally replaced with Kessler? I mean, the team was so bad.
Rejuvenation.
At that point. Like, did you see rejuvenation when Kessler came in? I mean,
Initially, yes. When Kessler came in that Houston game, that game was lost with Blake Bortles in it. And all of a sudden, the defense starts making stops. The offense is kind of moving a little bit. And the team has a chance to win in that game. They ultimately don't. But I think there's rejuvenation. I think the defense kind of, when they knew that they saw the offense go out there, the defense knew to not even get settled in on the bench because they knew they were probably going right back out there. And I think that really hurts you. So I think for a short while before they realize, oh, Cody's not that much better, if anything. But in that short time, they were like, okay, this guy might be the solver of problems. He has a touchdown drive, something that the Jags fans hadn't seen in a while. Yeah. And ultimately, you know, everybody realizes, okay, yeah, all of our quarterbacks stink. But I definitely believe that the defense played better when Cody first came in, just because mm-hmm. there was kind of hope again.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. We saw that right out the gate. So imagine when they actually get a good quarterback in here.
Wow, that's going to be weird.
When we come back, we're going to talk about what they can do in terms of a new quarterback, what they should do, what all of their options are. Go from there.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. For you and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's M-Y-B-O-O-K-I-E LOOKIE. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid.
Chris, you get one shot to fix the Jaguars quarterback position this offseason in one shot only. What do you do?
Dwayne Haskins.
100%? Move up?
Move up if you need to.
Do you move up to one if you need to?
I feel like that's such an unnecessary move up. I don't know. I feel like I'm leaning yes, because I'm totally in that camp where if you are 100% sure that he's your guy, then go for it, because the quarterback position is by far and the way the most important position. If they genuinely believe that he's the guy, now Dave Caldwell believing that doesn't really give me a whole lot of assurance, but if everybody in that building can say, yes, we want Dwayne, and they collectively say, all right, we need to go to one, where it's an option where maybe a team that needs a quarterback moves up to two, then sure. But I'm also kind of in that boat where, yes, you want to trade future assets, but you don't want to hurt your future also. You don't want to be sending multiple, you know, you don't want to send this entire draft just to move up, because then you still have a lot of obvious holes to fix. So I'm willing to move up to one, but there's got to be a cap at what you're willing to do. But for the most part, if they think that that's the guy and he's the guy, then sure, one should definitely be in the question.
Yeah, now I'm just so curious as to what the value will be for them to move up to one if that's what they need to do. Because I'm 100% with you. I've gotten really sick of everyone saying Foles. I can't believe people are selling themselves on him as much as they are and wanting to pay him as much as they're willing to pay him, because he's not that great. He's not worth putting $30 million into your QB room right now.
Yeah.
That's just not with him and Blake's total salary. No matter when they release Blake, it's going to be a minimum of 30. He's not good enough to warrant that. And that hurts the rest of the roster, no matter how you look at it. And there's no quarterback that stands out to me enough that would fit here. I think Kyler stands out. I don't think Kyler's a fit here. I don't think Kyler is a guy that Tom Coughlin would ever draft ever in his life, ever. He just doesn't fit the traditional style of football that they want to approach this by. But Haskins does. And I really think he fits the West Coast thing they want to do. And if DeFilippo wants to run something new, that's great. But I think they're going to still stick with their gut, and I mean, maybe become more of a passing offense rather than trying to rely on the run like they've wanted to do. Not that they were able to last year, but that they wanted to do. I think that Haskins is the best fit with the most potential out of any possible option they could get this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, you get the rookie contract, which is already like $20 million cheaper than Nick Foles. And you have your future. And I think it's apparent that like Jalen Ramsey and guys on the defense like Dwayne Haskins due to, you know, social media liking and all that. So I think right then and there, Dwayne Haskins, the moment he boards that plane for Jacksonville, the entire at least the core players of your defense are already behind you. You already have a defense that's like, all right, I'm sure they understand that he's a rookie and there's growing pains. So if he falters, they're not going to immediately turn their back on him because they know that he's young and will be growing. But I think they are way more willing to stand behind this guy for, you know, as long as it takes until maybe year two or three. If there's just absolutely no improvement, then obviously, you know, you'll start have your wits about you. But they would immediately be behind this guy and willing to push him and keep going. And when things get tough, continue to stand behind him. And I think that's what you need. You need the entire team to buy in what you're doing, because you can't have, you know, yes, like it. I'm sure a lot of quarterbacks don't worry about it, but, you know, getting booed by 60,000 people probably doesn't feel very good. And on top of that, Blake Bortles had to worry about his own bench basically booing him. So a guy like Dwayne Haskins coming in, knowing that you have the full support of your teammates through thick and thin, I think would make the world for this team and this offense and probably this fan base. So him coming in is probably the best option, both long term and for kind of patching this team.
I definitely agree. I think it also saves Dave and Doug, because I don't think Tom's job is ever going to be in jeopardy. But Dave and Doug's jobs get saved an extra year. I think they finish out the 3-year deal that they've got 2 years left on it. So a rookie, you know, as much as the whole win now thing sounds like it could save you with bringing in Foles, I mean, I think this team's good enough to win now with a rookie like Dwayne. And I think taking on a first round pick, you can't just can them after 1 year with that, right? Like, especially with the talent they have, if you see improvement, you can't just can everyone on 1 year of a rookie quarterback. You got to give it a little bit of time.
Yeah. And I mean, I've never understood the NFL like that. Like, you'll get an OC or a head coach or whatever who has like 1 year and then they can him after years. Like, you got to let these things kind of mature. I think 3 years is the appropriate, 2 or 3 years is the appropriate time for really evaluating both the quarterback and the staff that you put in place with it.
Definitely. I completely agree. Well, it's nice to know that we're both Team Haskins. It's no matter what. Thank you guys for joining today's quarterback breakdown for the Jaguars. Next up, we'll be doing the running back. So make sure to look out for that by subscribing to Locked On Jaguars. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. And you can follow us on Twitter @Zach_Goodall, @MistoCristovo, and of course, @LockedOnJaguars.